Hey, everybody, and welcome back. This is Amanda Moxley, and I'm your host for the Speak Your Way to Success Summit, where I'm teaching you, and I've gathered all these amazing experts from around the world to share our top secrets and strategies to rock it out online, on stage, on live streams, on video, et cetera, to get your message out there, to impact millions and make millions. And today, the summit is being taken over by my friend, Joanna.
Hey!
Joanna Turner is originally from Scotland and now a digital nomad. She is a leading intuitive business coach, advanced EFT and master NLP practitioner, and a former chartered accountant. I love it. And she's a mentor for female entrepreneurs and specializes in busting money invisibility blocks. So thank you, Joe. You're taking over. You're going to interview me today. So I'll let you take it.
We're switching it up a little bit. I'm so glad to be here. I love it. I love being in charge generally, so this works for me. All right.
Relax.
So I want to really introduce Amanda to you guys because you're going to be listening and watching her over the duration of this amazing series she's created for you. So you really need to know who you're speaking to every day, right? So I'm just going to give you her official bio so as you know exactly who she is. Amanda Moxley is an award-winning entrepreneur, certified coach, author, speaker, and sought-after expert for TV and print media. Amanda has taught her JFDI, Just Effing Do It, marketing, money mindset, and manifestation how-tos to thousands of clients through her fun spa-like live events, retreats, and online coaching programs over the last 11 years. That makes you a unicorn, by the way. She's a proud mama of two home birth babies, Sawyer and Phoebe, and a loving wife to her soulmate, John, of 18 years. Aww. She's a former competitive free skier, wow, and cross-country mountain biker. She's trained as a Bikram yoga teacher and holds a master's degree in social work and a minor in French from the Sorbonne University in Paris, France. Wow. She's an avid world traveler, having visited 5 continents. Her current favorite place on the planet is Kauai, Hawaii, where she's often mistaken for a mermaid. I love it. I saw that photo. It was so good. And her favorite pastime at the moment is learning everything she can about astrology. Oh my gosh. Like, I love it, Amanda. Like, we're friends, but I've just got to know you a little bit better and I'm even more impressed, right? Like, I think that's fabulous. So, but I want to know a little bit more. That's the official bio.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your story. How did all this start? You've been in business, by the way, just to point out, for 11 years. Only 5% of entrepreneurs make it past the 10-year mark, or anyone in business. So that's why I called you a unicorn, because 11 years is pretty special.
Yeah, I know. I just, thank you. I appreciate that. I there's really no other way for me. Like, I'm a horrible employee. I've been fired. I've been fired. I get fired, you know, so I just can't do it. So that's really the secret.
Okay. Become unemployable and then you have to make your shit work, right?
Pretty much.
Okay.
No other option, no back doors. I do have a master's in social work and, you know, I could go back to that, but no, I won't. I basically just have always had a major free spirit and knew that I wanted to create my own rules in my own life. And I wanted to live my dream lifestyle and I wanted to work what I wanted. I wanted to have freedom. I wanted to have time with my kids. And so I saw other women online back in, you know, the day. I started my business in 05. I got online at 07, 08. And I saw all these other women like making, like, I didn't even know it was possible to make lots and lots of money. You know, I just, you know, didn't, you know, came from that yoga social work background. And I'm like, wait, you can make like multiple millions and multiple six figures. And okay, I'm doing what she's doing. And that's really how it started. And I started my first portion of my business was as a health coach. And because I struggled with emotional eating and food and all this stuff. And then I was like, dear God, please help me heal this. And if I will heal this, I will help as many people as I can. And wow. So then I had no problem getting clients. I had like 20 people in my, you know, I had 25 clients just like within the first year. And I started my business going out, it's speaking and going to workshops and Whole Foods and yoga studios and my dad's law office and the ski resort and anywhere, like random places. And I would get health histories and then I would get clients. So I had no problem getting clients. And then But I had this really big struggle with money, and like, I didn't even like, when I would get to the money conversation, I'd be like, don't worry about it. You can pay me nothing. You can do three options. You can pay me for free. I mean, I'll do it for free. I just want to help you. It's so sad. I don't do that now, by the way. Don't even try. I let someone pay me over 2 years with post-dated checks. And, but she was such a rock star. Like, she was an Olympic athlete. And I was like, you know what? I believe in you and I will do this. And then she was great. And then, where I would get the treats from it. And then, you know, my son was born, home water birth. And I was like, mama's got to make some money. And I'm like, this is for real. I had this vision board. I wanted to live this vision board lifestyle, live in Hawaii a couple months out of the year, have this awesome lifestyle. And so I then started, at that time, I had been learning everything about money and business and marketing. And so then I shifted my business around 2012 to do business and money coaching. So there you go. And then I started doing profitable live events. And I know we're going to talk about that today too.
Yeah, we're going to dive deep into that because that's the juicy stuff. But you know, I really resonate with your story. I have a similar background with emotional eating. I started as a health coach too, and now I do money mindset and help people with events. We're so similar. We're also besties, which is one of the key things that we've obviously had to work on in our mindset, is to support each other and not feel like we're competition, even though in theory we're very similar people with very similar backgrounds. Although I used to be an accountant, not a yoga teacher. So we're different too. We're very different. But okay, so I've also put on live events. I started out doing a lot of workshops. Last August I did my first 3-day live event in LA. I filled it with 100 people. And it was incredible, but it was also one of the most singular, terrifying things I have ever done in my life, right? Yeah. Especially for somebody with weight issues and putting myself out there, being seen, it's been terrifying. Hmm. How in the heck did you do that the first time? Like, how do you build up that confidence? Are you still scared? Like, tell me about the emotions behind events.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Well, so the reason why I got the idea to do a big 3-day event, one of my besties, Christina Morassi, she had an event. This is a good story. I was actually backstory. So I was living in Hawaii this summer. I had a 6-week-old baby, and Christina's like, it was her first event. So she was literally so scared. She's like, you need to come on my stage. You need to be here. You need to talk. You need to help me, teach about wellness on stage. And I'm like, I'm in my bikini on the beach with my 6-week-old baby and my 3-year-old son. I cannot do it. Like, no, I'm not going. She's like, and then I was like, and then anyway, then I was, and then I wasn't, and then I did. And then I took the red eye and made it to Christina's event. And there I was, you know, introducing her on stage and then on stage with her. And I got a taste of that. And I was like, I love this. I got a lot of clients that still work with me until this day. And it was such a fun feeling. So I was like, once again, I'll have what she's having. And and I'm such an extremist, and I was like, I'm doing this event. So I basically didn't think too much about it. I just said yes, which is really a good quality for being an entrepreneur, and yet it is terrifying on the back of it. So I hired a $20,000 event company, and then the event was, you know, as you know, some of the events can be very high cost and obviously a high return, but for your first one, you don't know. So it's really scary. So yeah. I remember I tried to back out, you know, I was like, I'm just not going to do this. And my friend Christina was such a good friend. I'm like, no, you got to do it. Come on. And she just talked me off of that terror barrier or off that ledge. And yeah, the emotions, it was real. It was really scary.
Mm. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Full-blown fear.
Full-blown. I mean, I've probably never been more terrified in my life, but I think with a lot of things in the entrepreneur world, if you put a date in and then you start selling tickets and you line up other speakers, the accountability factor, you have to get over yourself, right? Like there's no option. It's like, oh, this is going to be a massive personal development piece.
Yeah.
I love it. How do you, like, you hired a company first, and just to very briefly touch on this, when you do your first event, you're not quite sure how much it's going to cost. You might have a vague idea, a budget in your head. I find that things kept getting more and more expensive, or more expenses I wasn't expecting kept hopping in. How do you deal with that now? Do you work with an event company like to help you plan these things, or how do you do that?
Well, I, at this point, I don't, because I got the system down. The second year, I'm local. So, and the other thing that's, I think, unique about my events is that I do them in my home area, which is Utah, because I have two small kids. I didn't want to travel, so I made it convenient for me. And this is, you know, the 2002 Olympics were here, the Sundance Film Festival is here. It's like, it's a really beautiful mountain destination. And so, so I hired a local team, and then the next year I did, I said, you know what, this is actually not that hard. I know exactly what to do. So I, check this out. I picked up so there's a lady that works at my yoga studio, or did, and she was a boss, and she was like the manager of the yoga studio, and be like, hey, you need to pay, you know? And I was like, I want you running my show. So I hired her up, and I hired her, and that, and then she's worked with me now for the last three events.
We got amazing. Right, yeah. You're like, we got this down. We know what's happening. I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. And before we dive into a few more details about like how you fill your events, because I want to get into that, because that's one of the biggest fears when putting on an event. What are your events about? What do you cover? What are your, if I was going to come to your event, what would I experience?
Yeah. So every event has been different because I like to switch it up, because sometimes a lot of the same clients come. So I can just give variations. Like the first year was Pop Your Biz, Unlock Your Money Channels, and Rock Your Freedom Based Lifestyle. The second one was about, or then the two most recent ones were, the last one was Be You, Make Bank, Your Next 12 Clients in 90 Days or Less. The one before that was Rise Up, the Power of Profitable Live Events. And that taught them how to generate a year's worth of income in a single weekend. And because everyone was asking me, okay, how are you doing this? And then I was seeing that a lot of people who are at six figures, they were really stuck because they were working in their business nonstop, and they needed a model to take them to the next level, to multiple six figures, to high six figures, to seven figures, and to leverage their time in Anvila Mastermind. So I was having clients come and ask me, okay, how did you do that? And so that's, I think my next event will be similar to that.
Yeah, I love it. And it's such a huge thing. And I think I see more and more people, right? We have these amazing online connections, but taking it offline, oh my God, I love meeting people in person. I get so much out of live events, and having attended so many and I got so much out of it, I was just trying to put myself in that buzz more and more. And then eventually I remember I was at an event and I was like looking at myself in the mirror. I'm like, you can do this. It's time. It's time. You've been to so many. It's time. Step up. But
I know, right? You're like, can I just have the mic, please? Like, I don't want to be sitting in this chair anymore.
I know. I'm like, my bum hurts. I've done like over 125 days or something sitting in event rooms. Wow. I love events. Yeah, but tell me, I know, right? Event junkie and proud, right? Hashtag. So tell me, why are live events so good? Like, why do you, like, obviously we've got this fear barrier. Why the heck do I need to go through my fear barrier to do a live event? Why is it so good?
Yeah. Well, I think the conversions are much higher, and online conversion is about 1-2%. And in-person conversion, I have converted up to 60%. So the conversion rates, because people really, I mean, I go to events to see if I really want to work with that coach and check them out. So I think the conversion is much higher. It's more fun. Like, I'd rather personally, let's get real, I would much rather hang out, have 3 days with my peeps, you know, I've had pole dancing instructors and yoga teachers and belly dancing teachers and shamans. I'd rather take people on this amazing experience and sculpt the energy and have a great time myself than sit on sales calls and like go through like everyone, you know, sales calls are challenging for me. So honestly, I think you do have to get good with sales calls, and discovery and strategy sessions, you do. And I also just think they're better for conversions. You can get more people converted. It's a better bang for your buck.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. That's super. And just in case anyone is like a newbie, I think most of the people on here are like, all right, I'm ready to start my first live event. Can you just explain the conversion thing and why it's so much higher? So it's more fun. How is that conversion rate higher? What makes it higher?
So
converting, we're talking about bringing on new clients, right? Yeah. From people who walk in the door.
Yeah. So you're inviting people to get to know, like, and trust you. They're experiencing what it would feel like to work with you. They're getting to feel of your tribe and your people. And then you make an invitation and you say, hey, would you like to continue to work with me? And some will, some won't, and some are waiting. And then they will, a percentage of those people, 60% of those people, generally 20% is standard, guaranteed 20%. They're going to say yes. So if you have 50 people, 10, you're going to get 10 new clients in a weekend.
Yeah.
If you have 100 people, you can bring on 20 new clients in a weekend.
Yeah.
Or 3 days.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's and that's really powerful. And I used to do a lot of sales calls, and they weren't, and it's an art and a skill that you have to learn. And I've done so many. Now I'm like, I have it there. I'm just better. I'm better with my boundaries, and it saves everybody a whole lot of time. Mm-hmm. But it's a whole process. So flipping over, I'll come back to that question. All right. So we know what the event's about. We're over the fear. We've got it planned. How do you get bums on seats? Because I think that's one of the biggest questions. How the heck do you fill your event?
Yeah. So there's a lot. Basically, you do everything, and then you do everything, and then you do everything until it works. So here's some things that I'll give you some really good ideas. So the first thing is you would start with your existing clients. People that you currently are working with, and you offer them a ticket, and then their friend, bring a friend.
Okay.
That's one way. The other way, and by the way, so some of these, you all listening, you may not want to do a 3-day event, but maybe you want to do a monthly women's group in your area. I just want to mention that I have one of my clients did a monthly women's group, and then I taught her how to do a membership site, or a membership, and then they have the membership, and then those, like, 50% of those members then become clients. So you don't have to go do the, you can figure out what is best for you. So, but I'll just tell you how I did it. So existing clients, bring a friend. The second thing to do is I did a lot of launching and, creating a really big buzz about the event, and you got to be there. And I used branding and videos and testimonials from the previous events. Mm-hmm. And I've generally sold things from a teleclass and then promote it. And then I invite people and I have an early bird, special of some sort. And then I've done it all actually. I mean, sometimes I do like a Black Friday special where I sell a bundle, and then in the bundle, it will include 2 tickets to the event.
Mm-hmm.
The program that I sell includes 2 tickets to the event. Then I do, and I've done lots of things. One year I had a bunch of different out of town sponsors/speakers. And I had a sponsorship fee, which is pretty traditional, that they paid to have a speaking spot. And then they were required to bring 4 tickets, or they would have to, or 4 or 8 tickets or something like that. And if they didn't, they'd have to pay for those spots.
Mm-hmm.
And another year I partnered with local people and who also shared my ideal client. And they had somewhat of a less of an investment in terms of the sponsors, but they had to bring more people.
Right. Okay.
So that was good. And then the other thing is you can do, like, I have a super affiliate program. Then you give prizes and you incentivize people for bringing a friend. If you bring a friend, the top prize gets a VIP day with me. The second prize gets a half day VIP day with me. The third prize gets a day at the spa, something like that. So you can come up with incentivizing people. So I've done that.
Just for like bringing some of my friends to your event. That sounds nice.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Right. Help a friend get a spa day.
Yeah, sure. I know. And so you got to definitely enroll people and motivate them and stay on top of them. But people want to go to your events and they want to bring their friends. So
I love attending with my friends. Like it makes it so much more fun.
It really does. Yeah, it's way more
fun. And you can share a hotel room, right? Like it's perfect. Mm-hmm. So it makes a lot of sense. Oh my goodness. I think you just gave me like 10 things. You very briefly mentioned a teleclass. Can you just explain a little bit more about how that worked? Because I think we like just brushed over it briefly.
Yeah. So I came up with a really hot name, juicy name of what my clients wanted. And mm-hmm. I said, come on this call. And it was like 10, for example, 10 time, get real and get rich, 10 time tactics to get real and get rich. So I made it something that they wanted. And then I just busted their chops about how they're wasting their time and how I'm going to really, you know, kick your booty and you need to come to the event. And here's, and then you want to, I get, so then I did a teleclass. I gave really good, valuable content. And then I, you know, mentioned the offer and then invited them. And then I said, if you enroll as well, I'll bonus you one of my famous programs, and you can also get a friend ticket. So there's all these other bonuses, like you can bring a friend plus another program to get you started so you're pre-trained before you arrive. Mm. And then I would do some sort of a follow-up campaign after that. That would say, hey, did you miss it? Here's the recording. This is the early bird and it's going to expire on this date. You always want to have limiters. It's going to expire on this date. There's only this many spots available. You have to claim it by now, that kind of thing.
Got it. Okay. I know it always amazes me. Like this is one thing I'd love to actually, this is kind of a personal question, but like when you're filling events, there tends to be a little bit of a, like people jump into the early bird and then this is like, and it's with almost like any launch, this is like gap of time where the ticket sales slow down a little bit in general. Mm-hmm. Same with a group program or launch. And then everybody jumps in the last 2 weeks or the last 3 days. Right. And when you're trying to fill an event space, managing that emotionally and logistically can be a little tricky. How have you found that? Have you experienced that?
Yeah, I just have really gotten to a great place of surrender and that the God universe and just saying thy will be done. I completely trust, like, this is, I'm here to serve. I'm here to help. I'm not attached to the numbers. That's ego. I mean, I like numbers obviously, but you know, thy will be done. Basically it's a very spiritual experience of a tremendous amount of letting go for me where I surrender. And I just say that, you know, and in fact, my last event, you know, because as entrepreneurs and business people, we look at numbers and track numbers. And this last time I said, I'm not going to look at the numbers. I'm not going to look at the conversions. I am going to show up. I'm going to love and I'm going to give and I'm going to serve without any withhold, without any attachment. And it worked out so well. It was so less, I was just relaxed. Like I wasn't, but you can be. Yeah.
That is everything, right? If people listening take one thing away from this entire conversation, it's what you just said about surrender, letting go, detaching from it. That was one of my biggest lessons. I had a moment about 2 months out from my event and I was doing a lot of shamanic work and spiritual practice. And I just had to go into this place of complete surrender and let go, literally just let go, open my heart, tears running down my face. And I was like, I can't control this anymore. Like it was too big to control, you know, like that's been a pattern for me. And that is the thing that got me through. I had a client on the phone in our mastermind just yesterday. She's hosting a big live event this weekend. It was the same message I gave to her. And it's just that reminder of like, I'm like, let go. It's good. It's already a success. Just let it go. And come into that room in that, from that place of service. Mm-hmm. If you don't, I felt like half my event was like guided, channeled, / I don't know what, like it just came through me in the end. But I don't think that would have happened if I hadn't surrendered.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. Like,
and surrender early. No need to surrender in the middle of the event. Cause my first event was so different. You know,
I love that, right? The lessons, right? Yeah. Don't surrender on day two, surrender 2 months before, right?
Don't lose it, cry. Yeah, exactly.
I love this. Oh, go on, sure.
One other thing I didn't mention that, so the teleclass, but I've also done Facebook live stream challenge where I just had a 5-day Facebook challenge last year. And then I offered everyone who finished the challenge 2 tickets to come to the event.
Oh, that's very so cool.
Most of those people came and then they decided to join me for the year-long mastermind. So, right. I mean, because in those challenges or in Facebook groups or on your business page, they're getting to know, like, and trust you and they're getting a feel for you. And then they're like, you know, I like her. I want to go to her event. And then this feels right.
I think that's brilliant. And anyone that finishes a challenge deserves 2 free tickets. So many people don't.
Oh, yeah.
I have some other questions for you. I've got a few more minutes, if that's okay. Behind the scenes, again, at my event, like, we were like, la, 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 it's all fine from the front. But there were a few things going on behind the scenes that felt like they were falling apart a little bit. And actually, I had such an amazing team, I wasn't even aware of some of them when they were happening, thank goodness, yeah. which is part of the success of an event. But tell me, has there ever been a time when there's something ridiculous going on behind the scenes and you've had to really step into that leadership role?
Well, so the very first time, this is a really good story. So I had the $40,000 for the event. And most of the event was paid for in cash before the event, but it was still scary, right? Mm. And so so anyway, I thought I really knew my material really well. And so check this out. My first event, I flew to LA to go to get an LA stylist. I had a muse, and I was Jennifer Aniston walks off a yacht in Saint-Tropez. And I did my event in Utah in September in the fall, and I'm wearing these gorgeous dresses, and I had never had a spray tan. I'd never had fake eyelashes. I remember they put the fake eyelashes on me. I just started laughing so hard. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I can't even see. Like, I feel like Snuffleupagus. And I'm like, in these tiny shoes and this tiny dress, and I get up on stage, and then they hand me the clicker, and I'm supposed to use the PowerPoint, and I don't even know how to do it, and I barely even knew what to say when I got up there because I got so nervous. Because finally, after all those months, I got up and I was like, oh my god, it's real. Like, I was in so much trauma. This is 4 years
right
ago. This finally happened. Then I get on stage and I think I just started crying because I'm like, oh my god, you guys are here. And then
I did that.
You did that too.
Oh. I was like, thank you so much for being here, and I like lost it. I'm like, how to lead with like power. But I was like, oh my god, I'm on stage and there's a room full of people.
They're all looking at me.
And they're all here because I asked them to come. Right? It was hilarious. Like, I mean, yeah. I didn't lose a loser, but I was just like, I teared up a little. I was like, I'm so grateful y'all
came. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It was so funny. It was so funny.
And then I remember I got off the stage and I went out to the back. I went to the back and I said, holy hell, like, I feel like I was just in the middle of the ocean with no paddle, no oar, floating by myself. And then I'm like, I have got to pull this together. And then I went back up and I like took over. So that was pretty hard. And then at that same event, I've always known I was sensitive, but I didn't realize I was very sensitive and very sensitive to other people's emotions and their energy. And I got really taken down, and it was like I was processing what they were processing. And so I have learned massive boundaries, and I have learned to actually have someone help me. One of my friends, and she was like, over the years, just like someone to nurture me and love me up and help me. Like, she's a shaman during the event. That's been too. So I have to do it, like, because you're doing your own inner work while you're leading everyone else. Like, it's a big transformation.
And holding that space for that number of people over a half day and one day, 3 days, it's huge. Like, energetically, I went into my first one like exhausted. I was jet lagged as well. No, I don't suggest that to anybody. But then, do you take a couple of days off afterwards to like?
I'm like, usually so jazzed up. Like, I'm like really on adrenaline. So okay. No, not really.
Don't need a couple of days.
No.
That's interesting. Like, I think next time, hopefully I'll be going in rested.
Yeah.
So I can just power through after. But that's what I did this time, but I needed the break and I didn't take it. And it was like 2 weeks later and I was like, I was like, out. I'm done. Like, I was like, I can't take it anymore. But yeah, I think that's when a spa day would come in.
Super, I think we're really super encouraging people to do an event.
No, we're being real. I think there's two parts, right? There's part is like total naivety, which was partly me, and you just freaking go for it, and then you get in there, and then you're like, this is harder than it looks. And I think it was good that I was a little bit naive, partly. But then, if somebody told, like, I think it's really good to know this stuff, because when it comes up, you're like, somebody else has been there. Yeah. Oh, I'm not the only one feeling this intense fear. Oh, I'm not the only one that cried in the first 10 seconds of stepping on stage, right?
It helps you prepare too. I think, like, because if I went home, like, all I saw was how freaking awesome it was. And I remember my friend laying on the bed and being like, I hate this. This is so hard. And I'm like, why do you hate this? This is like the best thing ever. Like,
So I want to just, for once, I had the best three freaking, apart from the tears.
Yeah.
I was more myself. I had the best experience of my entire life. Like, I was cracked open, buzzing, full, just so full of love and the breakthroughs and seeing those people, you know, full of, like, have just the best time. I was, like, so full. I've never felt so good and so fulfilled in my entire life. And so if we have mentioned anything that sounds hard or scary or anything like that, like, it was still all worth, like, having a baby, right?
Exactly. It's like
I'm not a mom, but I've heard that people forget how the bad bits and focus on the good bits, right? Yeah. You've had two. Yeah.
Well, I remember after my first birth, like, I feel like I just climbed Everest. Like, I am doing that again. Like, I was just like, oh, I'm such a strong, powerful woman. But no, it is a transformation, and you're not the same. And then you get that breakthrough. Now you're operating on a whole different level than you ever were. So my recommendation is do it.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you'll never, it was so amazing. And I remember I was in an Uber not long afterwards, as I was probably on my way back. I think I was on my way to Whole Foods or something, and got chatting to this guy, and he was like, we ended up in this philosophical chat, like I usually do with Uber drivers, about something. And he just asked me something about my faith. He asked me if I trusted in God. And I said, do you know what? I'm not a religious person. I think I'm pretty spiritual. But after the week I had last week, I absolutely do. I said, my trust in God and the universe and everything else is so freaking strong right now. I felt like I could do anything. Like, it was really that, like, superwoman feeling. I was like, huh, I pulled that off. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's so worth it. So, yeah.
So worth it, right? So worth it. I love it. And what has been your, like, favorite moment from all of your events? That moment where you're like, oh, this is why I do it. What's been your favorite moment?
That's a great question. There's been so many. You know, I think it'd be personal. I think having my, just, there's two moments, just like really feeling like you're on stage, you're rocking it out, you feel awesome about your content, the people are hanging on every word, you can see the transformation, and you really get to be yourself. That feels really good. Like, there was this one point, okay, I know it. I actually talked about surrender at my last event, and I mean, I just had so much fun. I was wearing this red dress, and I never have worn red lips. I know you're a big fan of red lips. And I had red dress, and my stylist had red lips on me. And then I was just telling them my whole, you know, this is what you do. And I was going through this and that. And I was like, and here's what you do. This is what I do in a launch. And then I'm like, you just surrender. And I did like the surrender pose where I'm like laying back and I'm like having the best time ever. And then the whole class is like, you know, everyone else is laying back in surrender. It was just like, it was hilarious. I mean, and it was,
oh,
just,
I love it.
All belly laughing. So, and then the personal note was having my son, or I mean, my soulmate, John, like there and seeing me, because he had never seen what I had done.
Mm.
He came and supported me at one of my events. And he was like, oh my gosh, Amanda, you know, it just was a really cool feeling. And then, of course, my two little kids come and they talk about mommy on stage. So those personal moments as well.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah, like for them to see what you're working on, you know, when mommy's busy. And I know you are the pro at getting a ton done in a short amount of time because you are a very present mom. But for them to see what you have created and what you're working on, I think is just really powerful. And to see you in that position on stage, I think it's huge. And you have got a little girl and she's seeing mommy on stage. Like, I think that's amazing. Like, such a good role model. Love it.
Another fun memory. Here's one other quick thing is that I had always been told on the second day, there's like a strategy to the events, right? And on the second day in the evening, you're supposed to do hot seats. And I'm like, that is the last thing I want to do after being on there for two full days to go and do hot seats. And what I really want to do is I want to have like a yoga yin class. And I just feel like I want people to go within. I want them to trust themselves. I want them to like listen and get in their body. And it was my fifth event in October, and I've always had another expert come in and do like a shamanic night, and instead we did the yin yoga, and it was the most amazing experience. So I think listening to your intuition and doing what you want, even though the strategy or the coach says do it one way, that was another good
moment. Oh yeah, follow your gut and just do what you think is right. I had a little thing with one of my coaches, and he's like, do it this way, and I was like, I want to do it this way. He's like, all right, if you're not going to listen to me, you know, like, but, you know, we've got to try these things, and maybe I was wrong, or whatever, but you've got to test it out and see if it feels right. I always say go for it. Oh my goodness. So much good stuff here. Thank you so much for letting me take over your series. I really appreciate it. You guys are going to learn so much about events. We've just scratched the surface. And thank you so much for letting me be here and grill you on events.
That was really fun. I can't wait to do it for you.
I love it.
So what I'm going to share is that I do have a free gift for all of you to download it here on my page. And it's called The Power of Profitable Live Events. Imagine generating a year's worth of income in a single weekend. So you can download that there. And then I have an engagement question. So Joe, you're invited to our after party in the BU and Make Bank Facebook group. And this is where we're going to come every day, have engagement after all the interviews, and the engagement, what kind of engagement should we engage them in? Do you want to I want to know, do you want to do an event? And if you do you want to do a 1 day, a 2 day, a 3 day, or maybe you want to do it next year? Or what is your thought about?
I love that. And the thing is, yeah, just one last thing. Like, you don't have to do 3 day live events. You can start small. The first one I did was a 2-hour workshop, and I had 10 people, and half of them were my old work colleagues. Yeah. So, you know, like 7 till 9 in a yoga studio, like after hours. Yeah. Right. I've held meetups with one guy turning up once. Yeah. You know, it's, you start somewhere and you just see what happens.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, everybody. Thanks for watching. What a bunch of great kick to the next couple of weeks, and I look forward to seeing you in the Facebook group. Thank you again, Joe. Have a good day, everybody. Bye.
Yeah.